He's very in love with himself.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He does have the capacity for love. He does. And I think we found the answer.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
All right, okay, let's do this.
You're up first.
Guys, we really left Paradise on a high note last night.
I mean, for starters, it was just 2 hours on a Monday night, and I couldn't personally take another 4 hours.
Maybe that was why it was so enjoyable. But also, it was just more interesting and more fun than basically the entire preceding season combined.
I think the whole thing should have just been tape studio reunion, like the whole entire season.
And this is the first time that either of us has ever endorsed that idea.
Yeah, it's usually the worst part of the show. But the best part is that the season is now finally over, and we can all just take a huge breath and go back to going to the gym on Monday nights, like I do in the off season sometimes. But first, we need to recap the finale.
And we're also going to talk a little bit about the choice of the new Bachelor. And yes, to do all of this with us, we have Ashley Spivey, who you might remember from Brad Womack's second season, but who is also just one of our all-around favorite guests and people and Bachelor Nation tweeters. You should really check out her Twitter feed.
Influencer.
Thanks, y'all.
Hashtag influencer. No. Spivey, your feed is like the only one that I see out there like ours that is half politics and half The Bachelor.
I try to put something in there, some levity towards it. It's just not all, you know, snark and
I actually woke up today and I was like, I just had this urge to tweet about non-Bachelor things. I think during the season, I tweet so much on Monday and Tuesday nights, and then the rest of the week, I don't want to look at Twitter. And today I was like, I want to tweet about politics. I think I'm going to tweet about a book that's coming out today. Like, I'm just feeling alive.
So much, yeah, so much space has opened up for you, Claire. Okay, yeah. So let's get to the finale.
Yeah, first we have 50 minutes of
it was
the
so
tape
short.
Footage.
It was so beautifully short. They just like rushed through every breakup. We were like, okay, in and out. Yeah. Yeah. I know. It was a revelation.
Yeah, Chris was there to tell them that it was the last day. And once again, he does this annoying thing that's like, wasn't this a wild season?
No.
The show was shut down.
Yeah, absolutely not.
And it looked like summer was ruined by this really depressing scandal that we're really glossing over here. But then summer was saved by an investigation. And we're all here again, thank God, love, et cetera.
It's like, in case you forgot, there was a shutdown.
I don't know why they want to keep reminding us.
I don't know either.
No one forgot.
Yeah. We'd like to forget. It would be better for them if we forget. But it's time for all of these couples and, like, Jasmine and Jonathan, for some reason, to talk about whether they want to take their relationship into the fantasy suite and walk out of paradise together, hand in hand.
Hand in hand.
Hand in hand.
This was a real hot phrase last night.
Yeah.
Like, is which producer? Secret?
I don't understand because I've never been scared by that expression. Like, I've never thought, oh, if we do this hand in hand, like, I have to marry. I've never thought that.
It's like a traditional hand binding ceremony, like at a wedding. Yeah. It's a
popular
thing
within the Bachelor community.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like someone must have defined this phrase for them in, because there was a lot of pressure that all of these people seemed to be feeling.
Also, there was a weird thing where Jack Stone was like, I really want to leave this and explore our relationship hand in hand as a couple. And then Kristen was like, I don't want to do it as a couple. And he was like, yeah, no, hand in hand as friends. Not a couple at all, but maybe we'll get married. Probably. I think he was definitely using it to mean one thing. And then Kristen was like, I see what you mean by that. And he was like, no, I didn't mean that. That seems
that was the most awkward exchange. And she just seemed to be completely thrown by the fact that he thought they had anything romantic going on.
Yeah. I think she was just done with paradise. I think she was done with being called scallop fingers. I think she just wasn't feeling the dudes there. And that was her just like – moment to shine. And I love that.
Yeah. And I mean, she told us, and she said this on some other podcasts, that like it always just so much like you're tired and you're sweaty and guys keep grabbing you and kissing you and you're like not really – you don't have time to like have conversations with them or really like differentiate them. So the idea that she could have a strong attachment to one of them must have seemed really like – we just met and like, yeah, basically.
We've hardly spent time together. We haven't had real conversations. So poor Jack takes himself off to the car to be driven away. And Kristen lives her best life.
She keeps saying we're basically acquaintances. I just want to point that out. He's like, I really see something with you. And she's like, we're acquaintances. Friends, sort of. Acquaintances, definitely.
I'm just wondering what he was thinking, because he doesn't seem like a dumb guy. I'm not sure what was going
on there.
I
wonder, someone must have pumped him up.
Yeah.
Someone definitely pumped him up.
Because he seemed very confused then in his ITM afterwards, where he's like, that was so confusing. Like, I'm wondering whether a producer was like, she's so into you. You have to go down there, just, like, stake your claim, ask her to leave with you. She's definitely going to say yes. Like, she'll appreciate that you don't want to do the overnight date. And then he just completely embarrasses himself.
I think that also, like, definitely, that must have been a big part of it, because he had a real head of steam up. But also, you can be really smart in one arena and not that adept in another. And Jack Stone, I relate to him in that regard, like, you get, like, some smart people in a dating context. That doesn't mean that they're going to be good at figuring that stuff out.
Right.
And I think he almost is too goal-oriented about it. Like, he was like, I came here to find love, and this girl seems cool, so probably we're going to get married, and I should just go with that. And like, he's not really feeling things so much as he's, like, thinking about what should happen next. I don't know.
Right. He's like, we like each other. Why wouldn't we leave together and get that little bump in our Instagram followers and, like, see what happens?
Yeah. He made his big declaration speech, and then she was like, I don't know. I was, like, scratching her mouth. And he was like, yeah, no. Why don't we just, you know, we're here. Why don't we just make the best of the situation and leave hand in hand as friends, as couple? Friend couple.
A friend couple.
A frumple.
She says, every conversation we've had has been so swirly.
What? That confused me.
I don't know what that means. I have no idea.
Whoa.
Kristen, please explain.
Yeah. She's more of a feeler, I think. Yeah. Yeah, so Jack leaves, and Kristen makes her exit.
Into the ocean. And then she said, scalp fingers out.
Scally out.
And all the girls are, like, watching and
– the guys, too. They clearly were, like, stand over the edge and watch her go into the ocean.
Yeah. Raven's like, she's back in her natural habitat. This was never really the right place for her. She's home now and free. Oh, God.
You know what?
Kristen, so ready for scout fingers to be done.
I agree, but I appreciate that Kristen just kind of –
She owned it
in an amazing way. And at the end of the day, she ended up coming off really well, I thought.
I agree.
And I think the first conversation actually is between Lacey and Daniel.
Oh, they decide to go on their date.
This conversation is just an emblematic of everything that drives me nuts about Daniel. She sits him down and is like, I think we should go on this date. And he says, there's a date tonight? And she looks confused. And he says, no, I know there is. I'm just teasing you. And then he's like, I want to go on this date with you tonight. I'm not done with you yet. Are you ready for the 4th of July in my pants?
What is happening?
It's like
his, it just made me shiver.
I can't imagine wanting Daniel to touch me. Like, no. I can't fathom it. But she is so into him.
How? Why?
Girls ask her why she likes, like, what attracts her.
She said everything. And that is so disturbing.
It's bonkers to me.
I just want to sit Lacey down and be like,
let's have a talk about what kind of men you're going after.
I was very confused about this. I think I even tweeted, like, I'm worried that maybe she's crazy because I could not understand how she was so in love with him. One, because I didn't understand in a time sense. Mm-hmm. But then someone told me, like, I guess they had been talking for, like, a year, basically. But from what I saw on the show, that is not love. And how she did not identify that is terrifying.
Yeah, I think that she clearly came in really wanting to be in love also. Like, this came up, like, I came here to, like, find a husband or a boyfriend, and, like, I'm coming out of here with love. And even when she left for her grandfather's funeral, she was like, this would be so much easier if I had a partner to support me. I think she's, like, just projecting that at Daniel. And even though, like, only, like, 10% of it is bouncing back at her, she's like, close enough. He's here. He's showing up.
And the thing about Daniel is, if you are someone who's projecting, he's so confusing that you can kind of decide to read whatever you want into him. Like, oh, I understand him. I understand the deeper levels. But it's like, there's no depth there.
Yeah, you're seeing what you want to see.
He has the brain of a hot dog. Like, there's nothing there. And I don't even know why you would want that. Like, Lacey, aim for someone that you can have a intelligent conversation with and that treats you with respect.
I think there is an element of, like, he acts confusing and weird, so maybe he's just so intelligent. Like, you know? Like, there's this idea of, like, oh, he's actually really smart because everything he says is mysterious. And it's like, no, he's just
speaking nonsense.
Saying nonsense phrases and letting us read into
offensive.
It. Yeah. Or they're just, I mean, sometimes it's funny, but, like, that doesn't mean that he's some sort of genius. Like,
no, he's the, you know, the random comic relief.
Yeah.
He's not the life partner.
Well, I wonder how much of that is really him or how much of it is a character that he realizes plays well on the show. Or not necessarily plays well, but it gets a lot of attention.
We have heard from people who have met him, like, oh, he's actually really smart.
Yeah, like, Lacey really met him, and she thinks he's actually really smart, and I see very little evidence of that.
Right,
in their
I'm personally skeptical, but
I
also
mean,
could
that I think
see
people are bamboozled by how bizarre the thing. Like, that he's not saying cliches.
No, he's saying, yeah, they're certainly of his own making. So maybe, like, that's the way his brain works. I don't know. I do think, to an extent, it is a character that he's leaning into, and I think he is intentional.
But
about
it just
the
makes
way
me wonder what his inner life is, because I can't imagine him being in love with a person. I can't imagine him getting married or, like, any of those things. So, like, is it because he is not interested in those things? It's possible. Is it because he, like, just comes off as very robotic on TV? Maybe he has those feelings and he keeps it all hidden away. But I'm just, like, he doesn't seem like a person.
He's very in love with himself.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He does have the capacity for love.
He does.
And I think we found the answer.
And who are we
and
to hate
Vinny
on that?
Like,
yeah, self-love is great.
Yeah.
I think there's just something about, like, the whole, like, oh, I can love my bros and I can love myself, but, like, loving women is, like, pathetic and weird. This is kind of the vibe I get from him. But, you know, he and Lacey decide to stay and enjoy the fantasy suite together. And Jasmine and Jonathan.
Yeah, I liked that breakup because they were both just clearly not at all into each other.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, it's been real great. We have to have this conversation. Okay, let's
part
ways.
Especially because, like, Jonathan was still going after Kristen's rose, and apparently Jasmine had no idea. She was like, oh, well, it's, like, Kristen and Blake or Jack Stone, and it's me and Jonathan. And meanwhile, Jonathan is going up to Kristen and being like, if I kiss you, maybe you'll give me the rose.
Oh,
so, like, that whole thing kind of confused me. Like, it felt sort of like Jonathan felt like he had to have the breakup with Jasmine because Kristen was already having hers with Jack Stone.
Yeah, I think that they were told they had to talk. Neither of them seemed particularly interested in having the conversation. Neither of them seemed at all like they weren't on the same page about it. So
it was a very short conversation.
It was very short.
Very emotionless.
Mercifully. Yeah. It was like I wrote down that they barely touched and then she shrugged Like
body language. Was
yeah,
really
they were like, yeah, okay, moving on. Raven and Adam chat.
Adam takes Raven from Taylor by saying, "Can I steal my fiance, please?" Which is a joke I do not understand, because not only are they not engaged, there isn't like an engagement component at the end of this season, really, like there has been in the past.
Right.
Where they all have a rose ceremony one-on-one and maybe get engaged. Like, so what is he doing? Just trying to freak Raven out? Like,
it sounded like a joke that had context that we didn't see. Because no one seemed weirded
yeah.
out by it.
Yeah. Like, I felt like it's like that thing where they showed Taylor and Derek being like, yeah, we need to have sex three times before we get engaged last episode. And I was like, you can't just throw that in there. Like, I don't know what's happening. Where did this conversation start? It was like a really throwaway moment,
yeah.
which was weird. But Raven is feeling a little more uncertain about the relationship than Adam. She's like, I've been to the fantasy suite before and it didn't work out, so I don't want to get my hopes up. And he's like, I'm really excited about it. And she's like, me too. So this is looking promising at this point. But they are going to the fantasy suite. And then Dean and Danielle talk, and it seems like they're also going to be, you know, heading to the fantasy suite because he picked her over Christina, and he's committing to their relationship, and they're going to take this out of paradise.
They were just building this up so much. Like, we kept hearing Danielle last episode and this episode be like, this weight's been lifted off. He's really committing. He's giving this a chance. And we know that when someone harps on something like that too much in the Bachelor
yeah.
world, they are setting that person up to just be, like, blindsided and devastated.
And Dean leads into it in this very weird way, as he always
shocker.
Does. He's like, hey, so remember how when you got here, Christina and I were, like, dating? Yeah, that was a thing, and that made it difficult. But you were the only one that I wanted to meet coming into paradise. And so when you showed up and you liked me, that was really great, and you're so cool. But
you're so cool, you're so beautiful, you're so amazing, but
when I woke up this morning and I realized Christina wasn't here, I realized that I loved her, and I owe it to her to leave not in a couple, so that I can talk to her after the show and, like, deal with that, because it was a really real relationship. And she's like, okay.
She showed no emotion.
She's very, like, ultimate chill. Like,
yeah.
She's always very composed.
I give her – I mean, I couldn't have handled myself so calmly. I would have
thwacked him with a pillow.
Flipped out. I mean
– not really. Yeah, I don't condone violence.
It just put Danielle in a shitty position
yeah.
to cause conflict between her and, you know, one of her girlfriends. Even if they're not the closest, they have all the same friends. And she, you know, she did take the approach of kind of just sitting back and being like, Dean, you need to handle what you need to do. And at the end of the day, like, she got very little from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really in that moment, too. I think she was having the realization that she was not going to be looked at positively in this situation, because maybe if they did pursue a relationship after that, then they could at least present the, you know, fact that they really did like each other, they really did love each other. And then when she didn't get that, then she knew she was going to look like the other woman, even though that wasn't
yeah,
the case.
Yeah, it's true.
But, I mean, I've seen her be attacked on Twitter, and I've seen the mean things that people are – I mean, I think she even went private for a little while just because,
yeah.
you know, she couldn't handle it. And I don't blame her. It's not
no.
fair.
No, so. And no, I can understand why on a personal level Christina might feel hurt by her, but I in no way think Danielle did anything wrong, and I don't think that she is to blame for this situation. And it's just an unfortunate reality that when two women are put in this situation, the blame tends to fall on them.
Right, yeah.
Even though people are definitely giving it to Dean.
For sure.
Yeah.
He's just so clearly mishandled these situations in every way and was pretty crappy to both of these women. Like, for Danielle to have to watch this back and see him being like, well, Danielle's just so hot.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it really
it
just sends the message
he
to
used.
Her.
Like, yes. when he was like, Christina is so, much more, I think he said insightful.
Like smart.
And smart. And then, but Danielle is so hot. And that, to me, would have hurt me the worst.
Honestly, I don't know which one would have hurt me more.
Yeah.
Like,
they're both so upset.
Yeah.
Right. Because either you're not desirable enough and right. or you are only physically desirable and you have nothing that is valuable beyond that. And no one wants to feel that way.
No.
Yeah.
Either side of that is pretty crappy. And I just, yeah, I mean, Danielle handled it with incredible composure. And she just was like, okay, you're going to make this decision. Like, that's on you.
Yeah.
Go do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened, sort of. we'll get into that later. But meanwhile, Dean is, like, just losing his shit and is in the moment. He's, like, sobbing. He's, like, he said, I wrote a lot of this down. He says, waking up this morning and knowing Christina wasn't there and knowing there was no way for me to be in touch with her, it killed me. I actually am in love with this girl, and I lost that to pursue someone else. If I hadn't gone on that date with Danielle, we would be here talking about Chrissy and me instead of Danielle and me. And then the producer asked what he'd say if Christina were there, and he said, I'd say I'm sorry and that she deserves better than me because she does.
Yeah, and he says at some point, everything that Christina has done has been the most pure interaction, which is such an odd phrase. But
yeah.
Yeah, and he says – he does a lot of, you know, self-flagellation again. I'm sorry for being an idiot. I literally hate myself right now. I mean, that's the thing about Dean is that he always recognizes when he's fucked up. And right. I think he has a good heart. But he has not gotten to the place where he can, like, translate those instincts into his actions.
He doesn't have maybe, like, the inner strength of character that he needs.
Well, and I think this is an unpopular opinion – but I think he does have a good heart. He's still so young.
Yeah.
And the situations that he's being put in right now, a lot of the other guys are older, and not that that should make them be able to handle it better, but I think he just, I don't know.
He sort of crumbled.
Yeah, he's made some very poor decisions, but then, too, you can see him really recognize that they are a bad decision. You can see him at least feel bad, which isn't always something we get from guys on this
Certainly
show.
Certainly not.
You know?
It's actually kind of a rarity, which is why I think, you know, I would never defend anything Dean's done, but I do see him as someone who has the capacity to perhaps change and learn, and that, you know, we have to give anyone who is willing to do that kind of self-reflection some credit.
Yeah. I heard someone on a Bachelor podcast say that Dean reminds everyone of their little brother, which is definitely accurate to me. But my little brother was way more mature about relationships in high school than Dean is now, which is like kind of puts things in perspective for me. Anytime I'm like, he's so young, I'm like, I don't know.
It's not an excuse.
Probably because he had you as an older sister.
That's true. I'm a great example.
You taught him everything.
Well, I was always in, like, a terrible relationship, and he was like, I don't want to be like that guy that my sister's dating. Jesus. So, meanwhile, Dom and Diggy are talking, and he just made this big play for her after Freddie came in and took her out. But then Jamie came in and took him on a date. And Dominique is hoping that they still have something, that they can leave together, because Jamie is also still there. And he says, the more I think about it, the best situation for us would be to leave separately as friends.
Okay.
And then he's like, I think that I'm going to have a great relationship with Jamie. I think she'll be so ecstatic that
Jamie
I told
says
her that
literally
I picked her.
The same thing to him.
Yep.
I feel bad for Diggy. Do y'all follow him on Twitter?
I love him.
He's so great. I just feel like he got the short end of the stick on Bachelor in Paradise.
Hey, he made the wrong choice,
man. He really did.
But I do feel for him. He's a great, great guy and so fun on Twitter. But I'm like, listen, I can't feel that bad for you because you had a beautiful, like, cool girl there.
That was interested in you. Yeah. And sometimes that's just how it goes, you know.
Yeah, such is life.
Yeah. But I did kind of enjoy Jamie's just very, like, you said that, but let's just leave on a good note, which means being separate and not romantic.
Yeah.
Hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, clearly if we left here together, things would only go badly.
He did have two, like, Jamie and Dom are really –
both.
They're great.
Seem great.
But that's kind of the thing that ends up happening is, like, Dean had these two, like, really desirable women interested in him. And so did Diggy. And then you end up losing them both because you're like, how do I balance these two women that I like? And it's very difficult.
And at a certain point, they're like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the secret to Bachelor in Paradise. You have to stick with one. Yeah. Not let another one
get
in the way.
It's kind of true. It is kind of true. It only ever works out when you, like, really...
Right.
Just kind of stick to one person and explore that.
That's what happened with Izzy. She was like, maybe I should just get to explore my options a little. And that did not go great.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll do another one after this one. But maybe that should be a strategy going forward, that even if you are interested in another person, just wait until the show's over.
Right.
Go after them.
Then you don't have to look bad.
Yeah,
exactly.
And, like, if you're also still interested in the person that you're with, then, like, don't gamble it.
Exactly.
You know? It's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Learn from Dean.
Meanwhile, Robbie is excited to talk to Amanda. He didn't expect things to go this way. It's been so slow moving.
I'm so confused about his obsession with how slowly this relationship
is moving.
And
he's pointing out
how it's been 10 days.
It's so different for him. And I'm like, what you are telling America is that you, like, every time you have started dating a woman before this, you have had sex in, like, less than 10 days, which, like, fine, but no one is going to be super impressed by that timeline. It's not like, wow, you, like, are really putting in the time.
10 whole days.
And, like, 10 days when there are cameras on you all the time. And, like, it's not, like, the most romantic. Like, even Taylor and Derek hadn't had sex yet, which is, like, they were way more far along in their relationship. So he sits Amanda down and she immediately starts crying.
Which is not a good sign.
He's like, great, cool, tears. And she says, you know, I've had so much fun. You didn't do anything wrong, but I don't see this working out in real life. And I did this last summer and I got ahead of myself and I don't want to do that again. And he says, I don't want it to be like last summer. I want this to be our story. I wanted to leave here with you hand in hand.
No.
She's like, but what if story is over, Robbie.
What if they left hand in hand as friends, though?
Yeah, as a couple.
And she's like, I just don't think it could really work out. Do you really think that it could work out? And he's like, yes, I did think it could work out. But the way you put it just now makes it seem like that is really dumb that I thought that. That was, like, actually ice cold, and I loved it when she was like, did you really think this could work out?
Mm. I feel like this was a good instinct on Amanda's part, which we clearly know after sort of went back on. But, like, she has seen the pressure that comes along with leaving, you know, engaged or as a couple on one of these shows and not being sure about it. And I am glad for her sake that she did not do that this time.
And we know she only came here to get on Raya. So, like, mission accomplished, I hope, for her sake. But she feels so bad. She keeps apologizing. She's like, you're such a great guy. You've been so kind to me.
I think she just got caught up in being on Bachelor in Paradise and maybe wanting to have that with someone.
Yeah.
And then thinking, you know, he seems like a good guy, even though all of us are screaming, no, Amanda, no. So,
I feel like there was this huge red flag, which is that he's really close friends with her horrible ex, that I kind of wonder why that never seemed to bother her.
Yeah.
Like, she wondered if it bothered him.
I guess maybe she was thinking if he would be willing to throw away that friendship to have a relationship with her, maybe that meant something, even though most people know that that is a horrible thing to do. And I think there was another red flag, which is his eyeliner.
Mm, and his hair.
And it's his teeth. Too much. Everything about
and
it
his
is
abs.
Everything. He's like all
he
of these.
He's a walking red flag.
He has all of these very symmetrical body parts that individually are like, I am good looking. And then all together, you're like, it's just.
Too much.
He's in the uncanny valley.
It's very hollow.
Yeah. It looks like he was assembled.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, in a factory.
I want to bring this up because we were talking about it earlier, and I just want to say what we were saying. about how he's one of those rare people that even though they are good looking, you can see his soul on the outside. And that's
bad.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's true. And like you were saying, Josh Murray, yeah, another one of those people, you can just tell.
Yep.
And that's how I felt actually about a lot of Joe.
He has the blink behind the eyes thing too.
Yeah.
Like in his ITM when he was sort of fake tearing up and being like, it makes no sense. She just fucking gave up. Like, all of it felt so empty. Like, it was, there was no deeper emotion to it. Even though he was clearly upset, there was, it's just off. Everything about him is a little bit off. I also can't tell whether he was, like, upset to be losing Amanda or upset to be losing the status of being a bachelor couple that would help his Instagram following.
Yeah, especially because the way he pursued Amanda was so, like, well, Raven really isn't going for me, so here's Amanda. No one's really paying attention to her right now. Right. I guess I'll just, like...
Here's Amanda and her more than a million followers.
Yeah, it felt very calculated. And then even the stuff that she says about how nice he was, like she says in the reunion that he, like, brought her avocado toast every morning and stuff, that just sounds to me like someone who knows that that relationship will be beneficial to him, and so he's making the necessary, like... gestures to earn that relationship.
Also, there's a reason why he was bringing her avocado toast. So she would take a picture of it, like everyone does. I mean, there's always an influencer thought in his brain.
Yeah.
You know? Which that is just so not sincere to me. Everything he does, like, I think that's why it didn't play well when he was fake crying, because there was no emotion behind that. Like,
yeah.
He could see in his head, like, people, like, screenshotting him crying and being like, oh, I feel so bad for Robbie. But no one does.
That I looked in his mentions. There are a few crazy people still who are just like, hit me up, Robbie. Like, she let a good man get away. And I'm like,
who are those
people? Well, and I feel like this is something that we've talked about with, you know, Bachelor alums that, you know, we've had on the show, is just that it's, especially now, given the way social media is, it's really easy to get caught up in your own importance, I think. Given that there are always going to be your super fans who are tweeting at you or commenting on your Instagram, like, you're the hottest person ever, like,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to slide into your DMs,
and
whatever.
Robbie seems like the kind of guy who always had that. Like, a lot of the people who do well on The Bachelor were, like, had an awkward phase in high school and then they got hot or something. Like, it's a place for people to kind of shine in that kind of quirky, offbeat, like, hot way. And then you introduce someone like Robbie, who's clearly always been, like, the popular guy who gets the hot cheerleader.
He totally peaked in middle school, didn't he?
He did. That's why he was so upset.
Yeah.
Because this is another, like, loss for him. It's just not working out.
Yeah. He doesn't – that's the thing. He doesn't feel good about getting rejected.
Yeah.
Because it hurts his own self-image. It's not about losing the person. And then he apparently tried to make things work out with her. But, you know, we'll get to that. First, we have the fantasy suite dates. And it's only Raven and Adam, Taylor and Derek, and Lacey and Daniel left. Lacey and Daniel really did not fit into that lineup, I thought, but they're there. And Lacey and Daniel's date is first. She is feeling in love with Daniel. And she's like, love is great, except, you know, you're always worried it's going to go away. We had a lot of insight about the nature of love on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so happy that it's her and Daniel at the end. And she needs him to tell her that he loves her.
And he plays into this. Like,
yeah, he plays into it.
Right. But this is the most normal sounding their conversation has ever been. He does say that he's starting to fall for her. She asks explicitly if he wants to leave in a committed relationship. And after making a weird quip about
he's like
his Facebook
like,
status.
Changed the Facebook status. And she's like, yeah,
well, yeah,
exactly. Figuratively. Yes, exactly.
Right. And he says, well, I don't want you to go back to New York and date anyone. So we should be in a relationship. Like, this is not confusing. He says they should be in a relationship.
Right. And she's like, it feels great to be in a committed relationship. Ugh. Now that we're here, I realize how much we want to be with each other. I want to wake up in the morning knowing that Daniel will always be there.
Oh, God.
If he proposes, I would say yes. Nothing Lacey. Could possibly go wrong. How can – even in the moment, like, how could she not be – like,
She also says, Daniel's not a terribly emotional person. And all I wrote was, this is the understatement of the year. Also, he has no emotional capacity. He is performing commitment in this moment.
And what's the long-term thing there? It's like, oh, he's not emotional. I pried one, like, vulnerable moment out of him.
Let's get married.
Yeah, and then you're stuck with this guy who's emotionally illiterate for the rest of your life. Like,
I almost feel like it was like a sexual blackout. You know how there are some of those people where, like, after they have sex, they're like, I love you. And then you're like, why did I say that? Yeah. Like, I did not.
They weren't even making out in this moment.
Maybe this was, like, after.
Maybe this was after their sex tape.
Who knows?
She's still wearing her dress,
another promo that they never kept teasing that they never showed.
It was definitely Lacey at the fantasy suite, though.
Yeah, it was.
And then they had voiceover of him at some point talking about sex tapes, and they just dubbed it in over that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I recognize the dress, for sure.
This is not related, but I wish they had bloopers for Paradise.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that.
I guess Paradise is mostly bloopers, but they could have gotten
a whole episode of that.
Yeah. I know. I agree.
Yeah, that would have been more fun than a lot of this.
We didn't get enough, you know, there could have been more shots of random animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had a few crabs, but that's not enough.
No.
Yeah.
Bring back the raccoon.
Maybe they didn't get a raccoon this season. It ran away. The raccoon was only booked through the first week of filming, and then they weren't even there, so, you know. Next, Taylor and Derek have their date, and basically they just talk a lot about how important sex is for falling in love and how they need to have sex and sex with each other. And
in this very, just the way that Taylor tends to talk, it just sort of cracks me up.
It's so clinical.
Yeah, it's very clinical, but they're having this, like, very explicit conversation about how they're going to, like, get it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
It was the most clinical fantasy day ever. But I actually kind of like it, because one thing I like about every time we see Derek and Taylor together is you see how she has talked to him about having, you know, positive conversations or instructive conversations or healthy conversations, which is a nice thing to see on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is a conversation that is great to have, and it's kind of awesome that after this pretty short relationship that they're having a conversation about what intimacy and physical intimacy means. It's just funny. It's just kind of funny to see it play out on national TV.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are definitely the kind of conversations that a lot of people would really benefit from having.
Yeah. It's interesting because you see Raven expressing sort of similar sentiments, but in much more like veiled language. She's doing a lot of, like, you know, there are conversations and experiences that we need to have before we can really know where this relationship is going, and maybe we just need, you know, the time to explore these things. And I'm like, Raven, you are talking about whether you're sexually compatible, and we all know it. Like, it's fine. Like, people talk about these things differently, but it's funny how Taylor is just like, let's sit down and discuss how sexual intercourse is. And Raven is like, I don't know, there are experiences that, I don't know, just help you explore. Yeah. So that we have a pretty straightforward time with both of them in the fantasy date. We actually don't see Raven and Adam in the fantasy suite during the episode proper.
No, they just abruptly end that part of the episode. And I was are we done here?
He offers her the fantasy suite card, and she's like, I don't know. I've never fallen in love and had it work out before.
And then the episode is over.
Because she's single.
Which made me sad, because then I was like, did she not get an orgasm? Is that why they didn't show up? That's all I could think of.
She's like, and it's still only been Nick who's made me come.
Yeah. And yet here I am. And so they end at this point, it's like 7:50, and they come back, and it's the studio taping.
8:50.
Yeah, 8:50.
Central time.
Yeah, central time.
It was all night, guys. And it's been 2 months since they finished taping. And they've brought back Jamie, Diggy, Dom, Emily and Haley, Jasmine, Alexis, Jack Stone, D'Lo, Kristen, Dean, Danielle M., and Christina, and Wells in the crowd.
Why wasn't Ben Z there?
Why wasn't Ben Z there? And why wasn't Matt there?
Huh.
Didn't want to leave their dogs?
I guess. It was weird. Doesn't Ben live in California? It's sort of weird.
Even more confusing.
Yeah.
It's also like because of what Kristen said about how he was had a thing with D'Lo on the show. I almost wonder if they wanted to avoid any of that.
Or if he and Matt just were like, I can't make it on that date. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I wonder.
Matt and Jasmine already had their sit down.
But like if you're willing to film the thing at the end with Zeus, like you're not willing to come on the show. I don't understand.
I don't think I saw that.
What?
Oh, you didn't?
Missed the best
no,
part
no,
of the
I did. At the credits of the reunion show. It was Ben and his dog.
And he was talking about how much he loved him and how he was reunited.
Yeah, it was really funny.
I'm really happy for that.
Now I want to see if Ben tweeted anything about why he wasn't there.
Meanwhile, Dean gets booed. He gives himself a thumbs down. He's really feeling the self-hatred. And good news, because a lot of people still felt like there was so much to resolve between Corinne and DeMario.
Guys.
Even after all of the conversations and the news coverage and the individual sit-down interviews.
Do we even really need to – I don't
– He brings them out to see each other. What he says is the first time they've seen each other since the taping was shut down, which we know isn't true because there are photos of them on TMZ.
No, the photos of them on TMZ were right after they filmed this.
Was it?
Yeah. Yes.
I think it was like the day after.
It was the night. I'm almost positive that it was this night when they, because they all went out to a club together after.
Yeah. I thought they.
I thought different too. And that's, so that started my dislike of this segment off right away just because I was like, that's not true. And then she said she hadn't talked to him, which I was like, that's not true either, right?
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand why there has to be all of these lies about this segment.
I don't know. It's.
I really do think that those photos were from the day they taped the reunion.
Okay.
Because it said it's 8:31. I think it was.
Okay.
But they still talked, right?
He had said that he had reached out to her. So I thought it was sort of weird that Corinne said at one point, like, I wish we could have reached out to each other. Because DeMario definitely said, like, I reached out to her and she did not respond.
Yeah.
But then she was like, well, he started talking to the media, so I didn't feel comfortable responding. It was like a whole thing.
I think it's fine. I'm glad that they're both fine.
I was
fine,
just grossed out by the way they teased it. Like, they kept showing him being like, I think it'll be just nice and we can move on from this. And then cut to her, like, looking disgusted, which is not how the conversation went at all. And it just served to use this thing that they've both suffered through.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that this show has exploited this situation for entertainment value each and every time.
Right.
Yeah.
And not been instructive or helpful at all about these types of situations. And I think that's the thing I'm the most disappointed in, because they had three times to do it at this point, and none of them, I think, gave a message that they should have given.
Yeah.
No, and I do hope for both of their sakes that they can move on from this and go on with their lives.
Corinne
and I'm
wants to get back to her fashion line designing.
Of course. The most important thing, to plug that fashion line.
That's how they got them back, is like you can mention your fashion line designing.
I did really like that DeMario shouted out to therapy.
Yes.
And his therapist. And I tweeted about it and he responded to me. I'm trying to find the exchange now. Let's see. Because it was actually really good. Oh, here it is. So I tweeted about it, and he said, real talk, my therapist was and still is my rock. And I said to him, like, I love that you guys talked about that, and also same. I think everyone should be in therapy. And he said, I agree. It's a stigma in the Black community that therapy is for the weak, and I want kids to know that therapy means strength.
Good for him.
Yeah, and I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
He seems like a thoughtful guy, and, you know, I do feel for both of them that they've had to grapple with so much negative attention. And I hope that they can both get the therapy that they need and move on from this.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, she said she agreed. She said she's also in therapy. So that's good. they're both.
Someone tweeted at me that ABC should have paid for their therapy. I'm like, that's true. Yeah.
Are they not?
I don't know. I hope they are.
I hope it wasn't the show's therapist. I hope.
My God, I know. It was Taylor.
Not that I don't love her. She's actually great. I think her name's Sheldon Sheldon. Like,
hey, that's a great name.
I know. She's a very nice person, but. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
maybe a separate therapist.
Yeah.
And Mario says he hopes one day they cannot be connected in this, like, unpleasant way where there's a cloud over them. And she says, I think the cloud has cleared and now it's a sunny day and there's just dead silence in the studio.
That was very awkward.
I was like, nice try, Corinne. Like, it's okay. Like, it's not great for you guys, but you can't just pretend that it's over for both of you. The consequences, unfortunately, continue.
No.
But
once again, though, I'll say, I really hope this is a platform for both of them to educate people on this situation because they don't have to let this define them, but they can do something good with it.
And yeah, that's true.
They have so many followers. Don't just sell, you know, hair gummy bears or fit tea. Yes, like, actually share with people what you've learned from this process, which will be helpful.
Yeah. I have more hope that, because DeMario has been doing a little bit of that, right. And Corinne seems less interested in it, which is her right. But yeah, I totally agree. There's my throat tickle.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with a lot more and some talk about The New Bachelor with Ashley Spivey.
And now we return to really the best part of the episode, which starts right now. The twins get a little moment to revisit how shitty they were.
They looked appropriately mortified watching the footage back, so.
And then they're like, Jack Stone killed our vibes like a serial killer. And I was like, you seem really sorry. And then we turn to Kristen and Jasmine.
Ugh, this was a little bit awkward and shitty to watch.
Yeah.
Jasmine says she was hurt by Kristen. Kristen says she was hurt by Jasmine fueling the fire on social media. And Jasmine gets incredibly defensive and claims that all she was doing was defending herself.
Because people were calling me and Alexis bullies and we're not. And I'm like, I don't know, like maybe just apologize for your behavior.
Because in the moment, they did seem like bullies.
Yeah.
And I know maybe that wasn't their intention and they felt bad, but it seemed like it at the moment. And you can just say that. You can say, you know what? I was being a jerk. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Right. And that always plays better. Like, you don't need to justify every action that you take. And I think, look, once you've been agreed to be on a TV show, you have to know that the whole story isn't going to be shown. That's literally what happens when you film a reality TV show. That must be incredibly frustrating. I mean, I'm sure you can speak to this.
I think the number one thing you learn is that apologize when necessary or be the bigger person because people will look more kindly upon you if you do that.
Yeah. It's weird because the twins seemed more aware of that, and I don't think of them as, like, paragons of maturity.
No.
But they definitely went the apologize unreservedly route, and Jasmine is like, there's stuff you didn't see. There's more to the story. You knew all about this. Like, this is—
I think Alexis handled this pretty well.
Yeah.
She just sort of, right when they brought up the story, she kind of took the attention onto her, and she said, that was me. I told the story because, you know, she sort of jokes. I was personally affected by the scallop fingers. She's like, it was not a mean-spirited. I didn't realize it was going to be taken as far as it was. And, you know, I'm sorry if that was hurtful. And it just shuts it down from there. Like, there's really, there's no more discussion. I'm like, that's exactly how you handle it.
Yeah.
And she didn't say, I was a horrible person and everything I did was bad.
Right.
She just sort of owned her part in it and said, like, let's move on. Why is this such a big thing?
Yeah.
And then Kristen is able to kind of joke about how she loves scallops, and it totally changes the tone.
Yeah, and I think she calmed Jasmine down, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was smart, and that's what you do for a friend.
Also confirmed on Twitter last night that Jasmine is 30. She is not 26, and she's like, I don't know why they
because I tweeted, I was like, this is the mystery I want cleared up. Why did the producers insist on making her Chiron say 26?
That was very weird.
And she was like, I actually have no idea. I'm 30. Maybe they thought I was Dominique.
I'd love to go back and see every time that they've done this, because they did do it with Emily on our season two.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
How old is she?
I think they showed that she was, maybe they didn't show her age until it was her birthday, and then they said that she was 24 or 25. I can't remember, but there was something weird. I mean, it was so long ago. There was so many weird things going on with her age that season. So I wouldn't doubt it.
She was young enough.
Right.
And Brad was like 30. Yeah.
Do you think they wanted to make her, they didn't want to say she was 23?
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes more sense. I guess especially because she was going to win. That would
right.
be, yeah. And then Chris turns the conversation to Christina, and she says that she related to Jasmine in terms of wishing that the other person had come and talked to her beforehand. And she says, actually, D'Lo didn't talk to her before approaching Dean. She actually had to pull her aside the next day after the date to see, you know, if D'Lo knew the extent of their relationship. And she said she felt disrespected.
I'm just relieved that this line of conversation didn't go on for very long.
Me too.
I mean, we've kind of defended Christina a little bit. And so we've gotten pushback on that. And I get it. You're not supposed – you shouldn't blame the other woman. But, like, I – you know, when you have a personal relationship with the other woman, there can be hurt feelings. It's not to the degree that you should have towards the guy in the situation. But it's understandable to feel some resentment or some hurt at how things played out with someone you thought was a friend of sorts. You just don't want to translate that into, like, bullying or, like,
outsized reaction.
Right, an outsized reaction. And D'Lo kind of grabs this and says, you know, it's on Dean that he should have communicated better with Christina. And Dean agrees. He's like, you shouldn't be fighting
with
each other.
And D'Lo made a good point that she was like, I was being told one thing and I wanted to step back and I thought that it was Dean's responsibility to communicate if he wanted to take a step back in your relationship. Mm-hmm. So you can see why she might have made the calculation to not dive too far into that conversation. You can also see why Christina might be hurt by that. So right. I'm glad that Dean in this moment just said, you two should not be arguing with each other. This all falls on me. And I was like, Deanie babies, this is the first good thing you've done.
I find it so interesting because one season ago we were looking at the Kayla and Ashley situation where Kayla and Ashley weren't really friends, but Ashley went out of her way because she knew Jared was interested in Kayla to tell Kayla, don't go out with Jared. And then, like, no one really supported Kayla in the audience. Like, there was a huge backlash against Kayla for going out with Jared, even though Ashley didn't want her to. Even though Kayla really had no real obligation in that scenario. And
also, Ashley was not dating Jared at the time.
Right. And I feel like there's this, in 1 year, there's been this, like, huge sea change, and which is great in a lot of ways, to the point that it's, like, now it's all on the guy. Like, we were barely mad at Jared at all, like, as Bachelor Nation. Like, I was kind of mad at Jared. But, like, it all fell on Kayla. And this year, we're like, none of it should fall on D'Lo. It should all fall on Dean, which is, like, a huge way to come in 1 year to me. Like, I think that's crazy.
Well,
it's
the election.
D'Lo is our Hillary.
Women supporting women.
The Women's March just really put this all into perspective.
Though I think there is something to that, that, like, it's almost more painful to see some of these, like, microaggressions play out in today. You're like, I can't handle it. Yeah. I get it too much in the outside world. Like, give me some kindness between women on this show.
Yeah.
Which is a lot to ask for a Bachelor show.
Yeah, I think I partly defended Christina because she was so much more invested in Dean than Jasmine was in Matt. But she also handled it so much better. And then when she showed a little bit of, like, human weakness, people were very quick to jump on her. That doesn't make blaming Danielle right. And it's good that was kind of handled early on in this conversation. And then from then on, it's Dean in the hot seat.
And we get the flashbacks to the whole thing. And it just made me so angry at Dean all over again. We get that horrible line where he talks about how D'Lo's just hot. Like, it was just, it was so cringy. And Dean is just stone-faced the entire time.
Yeah.
And you see Christina start to kind of tear up when we see Dean again saying, like, I'm in love with this girl.
That must have been really hard.
I mean, to watch that back and then given how things played out.
Yeah.
That's.
He starts out by telling both of the women that there was no intention of malice, which sounds like something that you would rehearse ahead of time.
Definitely.
Almost.
I don't really blame people for kind of
rehearsing. No, I don't blame them. I just am pointing it out.
Yeah.
Maybe Taylor gave him the one.
You should tell them.
Yeah.
There was no intention of malice. And he says watching it back really hurt him, of course. And he says, while it was happening, all I was able to see was what was directly in front of me. But then watching it back and seeing how much Christina was hurting, to watch someone cry because of you is a horrible feeling. And he even says he, like, unfollowed her on social media because it was too hard to see things pop up from her.
Relatable. That's relatable.
He says the feelings from the last day are still there. And Chris is like, so you're in love with her. And he was like, I have very deep emotions toward her. Like love, but deep, deep and profound emotions.
And Christina responds and she's almost kind of trembling. But she makes it pretty clear, like, they are not together. And she says she hopes that whoever comes next for him, that he does not treat them the way that he treated her. And she says, you know, I had a love for you, and I was really willing to work on it, and I'll always have that love for you. And it was intense and real.
And then D'Lo, it's like a record scratch moment, because there's this tremulous, like, moment of confrontation
Dean
between
Dean is kind
Christine
of directing Dean. All of his apologies and sad feelings mostly towards Christina.
Yeah.
He keeps saying, like, to both of them. Like, I feel like he made a real point to apologize to both of them every time.
Yeah, but I feel like that like, final speech, it was talking about his feelings towards Christina. And he's just said all of this, and it's this, like, beautiful moment.
And I admit, when D'Lo started talking, I was like, shut up. And then I was like, oh, no, you need to keep talking.
No, good for her for calling this out.
Yeah, she's like, listen, you say that you were in love with her, you love her, but after we left the show, like an hour afterwards, you called me and came to see me, and we had a relationship that unfolded after Paradise. So, like, what was all that? Did you just want to get with me and then go back to Christina, which, I mean, basically it seems like yes. Like, I don't really.
Well, it was probably that he knew they were going to have to ride on the plane together. You know? They both live in California, right?
Like, he was like, I know how to deal with this. Guy. Let's hook up.
And we've seen photos of them hanging out together in L.A. Like, they were, from everything we've heard, like, they were sleeping together after filming.
Yeah. And he says, is that really what you think? Like, he's really offended. But, like, the evidence is stacking up. I don't know. And Christina says, careful what you say here, Dean, because we tried talking a little bit again after the show. So are you still flip-flopping us? I don't know what's happening. And he says, yeah, the indecisiveness continued after the show. And she says, enough is enough. Ugh. It just, like, the tension, I could feel it through the TV. It felt like a crappy situation. Yeah.
See, I kind of felt like that was his move to try to win Christina back. And I almost felt like he was not maybe annoyed at D'Lo.
He definitely was annoyed.
Because he was, like, barely looking at her.
Yeah.
And he was definitely more, I don't think he was, like, being mean to D'Lo, but he was kind of more snappy or kind of quick to say things to her as soon as she started talking. So I think, like, after this, it seems like he's really done with her. I don't know if he would continue with Christina. I saw some people on Twitter last night saying, I hope they get back together. And I was just like, no. Like, what about the situation makes you think that?
Because it's like a romantic comedy. Like, he hurt her,
but
he loves her.
And then he figures his shit out, leaves the other woman, and goes back to the right girl. Yeah. But really, he just treated both of these women pretty poorly and hopefully both of them find people that don't treat them that way.
Yeah. Like, even, like, I just don't see how Christina could ever forget what happened.
Yeah.
So, like,
and never settle for a person who has to see another person before they decide how they feel about you.
Yeah. I think that Dean really was like, once we get out of paradise, I can hook up with Danielle without Christina seeing it, so it won't hurt her. I'll get it out of my system. And then by the time the reunion comes around, I'll be, like, really ready to patch things up with Christina, and we can, like, see where that goes, which is just so dumb that he thought that would work, because D'Lo can speak words and reveal things that have happened.
Right.
And their social media.
Yeah.
Which obviously captured the two of them together.
Yeah. It was really moronic. And
it didn't seem to work out that well for him.
Yeah.
He sort of wrapped things up by just owning it, apologizing to both of them. He says, I want you both to know that I'm sorry for my actions in paradise.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for stringing you both along. Neither of you deserve that. You're both incredible people, and I'm sorry.
And Chris says, this is the most uncomfortable hot seat I've ever seen.
Chris Harrison.
Yes. Yeah. I don't call Christina Chris. Yeah. We're not on those terms. We're more formal acquaintances. And next, Amanda and Robbie broke up on Paradise. Are they still dating? No.
No. Spoiler alert.
Definitely not.
Despite the avocado toast.
Apparently they live close to each other. They started hanging out again after the show. He asked her to be his girlfriend. But she says, you know, he only wanted to hang out when it was convenient. We never really talked. And she gave him a bunch of chances. And
20 chances.
That's a lot of chances.
It is a lot of chances.
Especially because it's only been like 2 months. Like, Jesus, what's going on? The twins bring up the cheating rumors.
And this is where the twins are great, because they don't really give a fuck. And they're like, Amanda's our friend.
Right.
We're going to be the ones to call this out right now so she doesn't have to.
They're like the Greek chorus.
Yeah.
And Amanda's very non-confrontational. So she's just sort of like, yeah, well, there were those rumors. But, you know, and I do have photos where it really looks like you're making out with someone else while we were dating. But, like, you were there. And if you say it didn't happen, I guess I have to believe you. Robbie is, meanwhile, trying to say, like, oh, it was just, you know, sometimes in a relationship, neither of you can give the other person what they need.
Yeah.
But he definitely wasn't unfaithful, according to him.
He was in Colorado on business as an influencer. He was influencing in Colorado.
What is his business?
Influencing.
And doesn't he have that weird clothing company with Chase?
Does he?
Yeah.
Is it an influence company?
Just influence. Just Heddle's
does
influence.
Does Jeff Holm do it with them?
Probably. Yeah, I think so.
Gross.
That is a house of grossness.
And this kind of ends up playing out some more on Twitter afterwards, because Robbie ended up tweeting a long statement that I believe we have.
Oh.
Yes. Okay.
We're going to do a dramatic
Ashley, are you ready to – do you have it pulled up, or do you want to use my laptop?
Oh, I just had it.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to do a dramatic reading of Robbie's lengthy statement.
Okay. I think I'm ready. While I won't be one to resort to vicious social media attacks, at the finale, I felt like I was sitting next to a stranger. I'll never understand why there's such a desperate need to present an innocent persona, that was in quotes, and resort to allowing allegations that are blatantly untrue be said about me by the twins, also in quotations, which is weird, while one sits back and unknowingly, quotations again, watches these malicious attacks continue against me. That's not the behavior or accountability I expect from someone that claims that they care about me and was open to developing an actual relationship. I've upheld their name both publicly and privately with respect, regardless of the several outgoing threats I received. I just like these things in all capital letters. Yes, I'm friendly and personable with many people, but I have respect for myself and even the person I'm casually dating. So I keep my interactions appropriate. I don't use the media or my friends to handle personal is this by Trump or Robbie? Like,
it's so Trumpian.
Okay.
It's taking it straight to the people.
Right? and have seen happen many times before. History is repeatedly showing that some people thrive off using the media and their army, quotations, to manipulate the viewers and to place one-sided blame, constantly play the victim, and use their friends to try and assassinate one's character. Your storyline is getting old. At some point, it's just you to stop living a double life. And at this point, everyone sees through it. God bless. That could be so many different things. It could be by Trump. It could be by Taylor Swift. Like,
yeah. Well, why, yeah. Why are there so many things that are hyphenated that should not be hyphenated?
Yes.
There's a lot of very interesting grammatical choices made in this statement. Also, like, what is the thinking? What was his thought process in posting this? Why did he think this would possibly be good for him?
Well, it accomplishes a lot. He establishes that he won't resort to social media attacks.
while also using social media to attack.
He calls her behavior malicious, but he's not attacking her. So yeah. He's really killing two birds
with
one stone.
He's upheld her
there.
Name by not saying it, by
right.
just... Also,
he should call her anonymous.
Does he understand that the way you use like quotations in a way,
like scare quotes?
Yeah, that's the twins. Why would you put the twin? They are twins.
You can always tell a Trump follower because he's yes. seen quotation marks used in such
and all caps
creative
all caps.
Ways and all caps.
Very Trumpian. We're not surprised that he. Wants to make America great again.
Yeah. Also, he throws in that they were just casually dating, which is not what I call it when you use the term girlfriend. Like, if you have a girlfriend, then you're not casual.
Also, he very clearly said to the camera multiple times that he, like, wants a wife and he wants little Robbie is running around and he, like, wants to meet Amanda's children. So,
yeah.
To me, that seems less casual than we are in a relationship, but sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Amanda tweeted out a photo.
But first she said, she responded to him and said, quote, a desperate need to present an innocent persona, dash, the guy who denies cheating when there is photo proof, hashtag be a man already.
Yeah, I read that as Beeman already.
And yeah, there's no, it's all lowercase. And then an hour later, because it was, you know, kept being responded to, she tweeted out a photo that very much looks like Robbie is making out with a woman.
And to be clear, he has never denied he's the guy in the photo, so that's not the question. It's, is he making out with this woman? If he's not, they are nuzzling each other's necks.
They are necking.
They are literally necking.
Just talking.
No.
Unless you are talking with your tongues.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Even if they're not making out, this is not the way you want your boyfriend to be conducting himself with another woman.
Yeah. So this is the photo that a fan saw Robbie with this woman and alerted Reality Steve, but she sent this photo of them making out only to Amanda, and she said it was Amanda's to look at. And Amanda decided to spill the tea.
I feel like she was pushed to that point.
She tweeted, look what you made me do.
A little T-Swift.
Yeah. Which is ironic, really, considering.
That's just her using her army.
Yeah.
Army of one. You know what? Good for her. He's like invoking God. He's being like a complete asshole on social media. Good for her.
Yeah.
But I think it is time for us to note that this is very similar to the Josh Murray situation.
Very.
She gets like pulled in by the conventionally hot. I guess. Like, it's hard for me to evaluate because I find them so repulsive. Yeah. The conventionally hot, like, jocks who tweet Bible verses, but
there's
who are just shitty people.
There's a reason that Josh and Robbie are friends.
Yeah.
Or were friends.
Yeah. And she never questioned that at all.
Apparently they're still friends because they were tweeting to each other about the libraries that they could compile, I guess, of stuff about Amanda.
Wow, oh, that's charming.
Yeah.
That's real great.
Oh, yeah. Let's see here.
Oh, gross. Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, did Josh delete a tweet?
He must have deleted it because it doesn't show it now.
Mm.
Robbie doesn't have a library.
Yeah, they're both trash. Let's move on. I have no sympathy for either of these dudes. And I'm just happy that Amanda can finally eat pizza again. I think that is the greatest gift that she could possibly get from paradise.
But do you think she's going to be able to eat avocado toast after this?
You know what? I think she might be able to persevere.
I hope so.
Pizza over avocado toast all day, every day.
So now we get to see the final couples. And things, if anything, get crazier. Lacey comes out first. She's really feeling her oats. She's giggling.
This is the most likable Lacey has been the whole season, mm-hmm. is in this segment.
And she explains that she's known Daniel for a while. They met a year ago at Vinny's birthday party, and they hooked up a little bit that night. And then she says they became close friends, and they talked every day.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. And
well, it kind of explains, though, why surprising. She would have very openly said, I'm here for Daniel. She jumped into his arms. She clearly had this idea that they were very close.
What's weird to me about that is, why would you go to paradise to meet Daniel if you're already very close friends?
Very true.
I don't know.
Because he wants to be on television.
Right.
Which should have been a red flag for her. But, you know, in this world, I feel like they all... Half of these people went on Paradise with boyfriends, so, like, I'm...
Yeah.
Whatever.
And then she says, during the alone time in the fantasy suite, it came to her attention that he was lying about his feelings, and then just paused for the sound of no one being shocked at all.
Yeah.
She said something just didn't really feel right when he said he was falling for her, which, yeah, because that doesn't sound like something he would ever say to anyone. And so she confronted him about it when they were alone, and he admitted that he didn't mean it and that he wasn't really falling for her and he didn't want to be in a relationship.
So did a producer show that clip to her or let her know that he was lying? Or
it's weird because she says that she confronted him when they were alone and he admitted it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also see, like, the morning after footage.
But was that footage from the bathroom, was it definitely from the morning after? Or,
maybe
or was
not.
It from the night?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Because he used the same words.
I know, right. But it could have been, because it was in the bathroom, it could have been right after they had that conversation. And
that's
I wonder if that was from before.
Yeah.
And then she pressed him when they were alone.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
He says he can never really change his Facebook status to in a relationship with Lacey. You don't have to do.
It's not a necessity.
I don't think I've ever put on Facebook that I'm married. Like, is that bad?
Yeah.
No.
You're technically legally single, I think.
I've been married to a friend of mine, I think, since I got Facebook more than 10 years ago.
You can't even see it anymore, right?
Yeah,
it's
I don't think it really matters.
About and stuff like that.
It's they're DM-ifying
it. It's not even a real reference. But, yeah, this was just so awkward because Daniel basically pretended that he didn't say any of the things we literally just watched him say on camera.
Yeah, he comes out and he says, oh, we had a nice, relaxing time. And Chris says, well, what about all that stuff that we were just talking about? And he said, oh, well, I told her, you know, we have to be realistic. You're in New York. I'm in Vancouver. I only would really want to be committed if we were going to get married. And I just wasn't sure about that. And Chris says, well, your accounts aren't matching up. And Lacey says, maybe because one of us is telling the truth.
And one of us is trying to look good for this live show.
Yeah. And
Lacey's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
She really kept going at him. He says, well, we didn't see eye to eye on certain topics. And she says, yeah, I don't say I love you and I don't mean it. And he's like, well, you never said that. And she's like, we literally just watched me say that to you on camera.
And he's like, well, I didn't say it back. And Chris is like, well, you did say you're falling for her. And he's like, well, I don't even know what that means. And Lacey says, you've done two of these shows and you're 32 years old. Yep. What do you think that means?
It's what everyone says right before they say, I love you, to the other person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, it always follows with that.
Also, if you say you're falling for someone, that's a pretty good indication that you are into them at the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not confusing.
No. He's trying to play semantics here, and I just want to say this is more evidence that he's actually not that smart because he's doing a terrible job.
I also love that he then brings up how, oh, but I told you to come to Vancouver. And she's like, well, that was a story that you just dipped into, a story that I wasn't planning to tell on this stage. And everyone from the audience is like, spill the tea, do it, Lacey. Like all of the fellow cast members.
She says he came to New York for 6 days and spent 1 hour alone with her. And he invited Vinny along for everything else. Hmm. And she says if he liked me as much as he likes Vinny, then we wouldn't have an issue.
Yeah. And understandably, she's like, well, why should I go to Vancouver when—
Yeah.
You just treated me like shit, which good for her.
Yeah.
Is she hinting that he likes Vinny?
I didn't think so.
I don't think so.
But maybe, okay. Daniel's just so confusing. It's hard for me to imagine him. There's something, too, about, like, even just any kind of, like, sexual encounter that is authentic that I feel like you have to, like, let go a little bit. And I feel like Daniel, I can't envision him doing that. Oh. It's just got to be a little bit, like, making the snarky comment and, like, negging the other person.
Yeah.
And he can be closer with bros because there's no expectation of vulnerability in that relationship.
That's very true. He really played this entire situation poorly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Down to his very tight outfit.
Very tight.
And what is this idea of where you wear this vest that goes under a three-piece suit by itself? Not a great look.
No.
That vest is meant to be half hidden.
Someone help him.
I don't really care what happens.
He's beyond health.
Frankly, I'm just like, let him sink, you know. Yeah. I'm not invested in Daniel. And here come Adam and Raven. They look very cuddly. They're clearly together. We get the morning after footage of them. They went to the fantasy suite. And apparently Adam is a morning person and she is not. I felt very sympathetic to her in that moment. She's like, he needs to calm down. And she says, we knew we liked each other's company, but we didn't know how much until the last night, which is another moment where I was like, I hear what you're saying, Raven.
Yeah.
Picking up what you're putting down. So they come back to the studio and Chris says, can I just thank you because this has been one of the weirder nights of my life and, like, finally some good news. But honestly, I was enjoying the weird drama.
Me too. It's very entertaining for the first time this season. And Raven and Adam seem really cute. I'm on board.
Yeah. They said they've been traveling. And this is where I admit that I knew they ended up together because I have a friend from college who ran into them in San Francisco, like, at a cafe while they were, like, on their way to, a weekend at a winery or something. And she sent me a picture with both of them. And she was like, they seem really happy. And I was like, oh, the show's not over yet. But, okay.
Oh, spoiler.
But this season was so deeply spoiled.
Yeah, that, like, it didn't even really matter.
That's honestly not the point. But apparently they've been traveling all kinds of places together. And
there was something that felt really genuine about these final two couples, and because they have had time together in the real world before we get this big build up of, like, I'm gonna love you forever, it none of it rang quite as false or constructed as some of these proposals at the end of Paradise have felt in the past.
Yeah.
And it's very sweet to see someone come on this stage and just be like, we're boyfriend and girlfriend and it's going well.
Yeah.
We're really cute. I didn't get that until the last episode, though.
Yeah.
Like,
They didn't show that much of them.
So it was nice to see them actually.
They were definitely, like, kind of always tucked away in a corner, like, looking very sweaty and hungover and, like, hanging out in a hammock or something. Like, they were just laying low.
Well, and also we've seen that, okay, they've been traveling. They've been building most of this relationship probably in the 2 months that they haven't been on camera.
Yeah.
That's kind of another Bachelor in Paradise truth, too. Quieter people who stay out of the drama end up with people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like when Jade and Tanner, we, like,
they're
never
quiet.
Saw them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Evan and Carly, even though they were weird, but they weren't necessarily, like, involved in drama.
They just made jokes about each other more than anything. Their drama was all, like, between the two of them.
Exactly.
And there was actually kind of a weirdly large amount of it, considering that they ended up together.
Right.
And are having a child.
Yeah. It was never like Carly was like, I'd rather date this other guy. It was always just like, do I like him?
Right.
Right, but that's her grappling with their relationship, not, like, looking outside of it. So. Mm-hmm.
And then Raven's family comes out to meet Adam on stage, which is fun. And finally, it's Derek and Taylor, and they seem really happy. They talk about how the last time she was at a reunion show was really unpleasant.
It was traumatic for her.
And they cut to Corinne, who's still sitting with the rest of the cast, looking sort of like, do-do-do-do-do. Don't mind me here. And, wow, their fortunes have really turned in the Bachelor franchise since the end of Bachelor.
For both of them.
Yeah. And Derek says, you know, the shutdown allowed them to really dig deep and have real conversations. And then we see the morning after footage, and she's sort of, like, lying next to Derek in bed. And she's like, last night was me taking a very intentional step toward being in love with you.
I love that this is just the way she talks about everything. It's kind of amazing.
And he's like, I'm really glad to hear that. That feels great. But she's being really cute in the moments. She's like, Derek cares so much about me. And I'm like, dude, I'm fucking crazy. Go away.
I loved that.
I liked when she said that too.
Yeah. So cute.
And I think that's, like, the kind of thing people need to see from Taylor, because they're like, does she not realize that she's, like, fucking, like, obnoxious? And she's like, no,
she's
I know.
She's like, no, I know. I'm a pretty self-aware person.
Yeah. And then she says, I got to take all of Derek in last night.
That killed me.
Oh. And she gives the camera, like, a really significant look. That was amazing. And they are ready for real life together. And apparently he went right to home to Seattle with her after the show. And he says they've made a commitment to get to know each other as intimately as possible. Taylor's really rubbing off on him.
Yeah they're really just like, as many sexual innuendos as possible.
Yeah.
I love it, though. It's entertaining.
No, it's great. And it's just clear that they genuinely have so much affection between them, which is nice to see.
And then Derek says, thank you to the show for making this happen. And Taylor, you're so intelligent emotionally and otherwise. You have such a big heart and you're so beautiful. He's like, you know what? Like, isn't she beautiful? Like, stand up. And, like, Taylor's clearly like, what are you doing, dude? Like, this is weird.
Yeah, you can see her face.
She's like, are you showing me off?
What is about to happen?
And then he keeps, like, holds her up and he's like, I'm so nervous. And she's like, oh, God. What are you doing? And everyone is, like, freaking out.
Danielle is just, like,
she's like,
stunned.
Mom in the front seat got her arms out.
And one thing about her, we never got to hear from her.
So apparently they did talk about it, and they just didn't air it.
Awful. I mean, what I
get to hear about her in Wells.
What I heard is that she, I think, had just really gotten back from her trip that she left for her, like, work trip, and they hadn't really had a chance to talk things over themselves. So I think that's probably, it was a really dull update, and that's why they didn't tell us.
But that's what Christina kept on tweeting about.
Yeah.
It was, like, one of the most shared tweets yesterday.
Yeah. Well, so I guess because they did talk about it, and she thought it might be aired, but it wasn't.
Mm. Okay. Proposal.
back to the old proposal thing. And he says that she's his equal and they're, like, a team, and he built a fire for her, even though she could build one for herself. But now there's a fire in his heart. I really didn't do a great job transcribing this,
guys. He said, early in our relationship, I literally built a fire for you, even though you're a strong, independent woman who doesn't need a man.
I love that.
I loved that. And then he said, and, yeah, figuratively built a fire in my heart. And he says, I choose to love you this minute, this hour, this day, and every day from here on out. And then he kneels and proposes. And she's sobbing.
She's got her hands up to her face, like, crying when he kneels. So he has to, like, pull her hand down before he proposes. He's come here. Come here, buddy.
The ring looked pretty nice.
It was.
Yeah.
It was tasteful far as Neil Lane's rings go.
She's, like, crying huge droplets onto his hands. Even Corinne looks happy. It's really nice. Their rose petals fall on them. And
it was one of my favorite proposals that I've ever seen on this franchise. It felt personal to them. Mm-hmm. It felt genuine. And we actually had the two of them here in studio, and we'll have a bonus interview with the two of them running tomorrow. But he, as a little preview, he did say that he, when he was thinking about the proposal, you know, he was sort of grappling with how do you make this something that people watching can appreciate and also make it personal. And he's like, at the end of the day, I just leaned into it being personal and not caring as much about whether the audience, you know, understood every reference I was making. And that came across, and it was really nice.
I think it helps that he looks so much like John Krasinski, too. So, like, the whole time he was proposing, I was just having, like, flashbacks to The Office of, like,
which he tweeted about.
Yeah, so I was just like, okay, I'm in love with him.
And it was very similar in terms of the surprise factor, the sudden kneeling, the tears.
Yeah.
It was very Pam Beasley.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the beautiful note that we end this season on. And we are not going to have to do this again for so long.
No. But before we go, let's talk about who we will be discussing a lot in January. Ari Lyndike Jr. I never know how to pronounce his last
name.
I'm just like, Ari. Ari Jr.
I say it differently every time. Yeah.
So I felt kind of apathetic about the choice, kind of confused, had mixed emotions. My first reaction was both like, oh, I really liked him on Emily's season. And also my immediate worry was, is this a signal that they want to go back to, quote unquote, traditional Bachelor, which has meant very white? And so those were my two kind of competing initial things, because obviously, like, he was really fun to watch pushing Emily up against the wall and making out with her. So that's definitely a plus in a Bachelor.
Yeah.
Ashley, what were your thoughts? Because you seemed pretty positive about this.
I, for one, was very excited, only because I really felt like after Emily's season, they were going to pick Ari. You know, I got to meet Sean, actually, around the same time that they were doing, I guess, picking The Bachelor. And so after I met Sean, I was actually like, oh, well, he's great too. And I think I even maybe sent a message to producers. And I was like, if you don't pick Sean, you're an idiot. just because I had met both of them. I thought they were both great. If there was ever a season for dueling Bachelors, I think that would have been awesome. Just because they were different, but also both great. But no, I mean, I was pretty pumped about it just because I felt like people in terms of this season were very divided, and it was nice to kind of just throw just like a random in there, even though he's not random. Like, people have wanted him to be the Bachelor for forever. Anytime that a Bachelor has been brought up since his season, people are always like, Ari, you know, like,
yeah,
it's never died down. I mean, maybe it's just that it's older people saying they want Ari. I loved how many people acted like they didn't know who he was. Although, if you're a true Bachelor fan, like, you know who he is.
Yeah, I think there is an element, a definitely generational element, because there are always new people watching the show, and that's why it continues to have this, like, growing audience instead of a shrinking one. And so a lot of people came in. I didn't watch Emily's season in real time. I watched
loved
it later.
Emily's season.
It's a great season.
That was actually the first season of The Bachelorette that I watched all the way through. Like, I saw some of Ashley's, but I wasn't, like, dedicated to it.
Yeah.
And then I watched Ben Flanick's season, and that's when I really became, like, a dedicated viewer.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of affection for Emily's season because it was really fun, and she was fantastic. And at the time, I actually really liked Sean, Jeff, and Ari. And I thought she had, like, a great final three.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that there have been a good number of people who have come into the Bachelor viewing audience, especially a lot of women of color.
Yeah.
Between Nick's season and then, you know, because they want to support Rachel. And then, of course, like, most people who watch this, you get hooked really easily.
Right.
So it feels a little bit like a, we don't care about keeping the new audience that we've gotten drawn in.
Right.
And that sort of bothered me.
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly what the calculations were because it seems like Peter was offered it.
And was making some demands or wasn't super into doing it.
And that's similar to what happened with why Nick ended up becoming the Bachelor, right. Because their initial pick became too much trouble. And so they just went back in the stable. Right. And that's clearly, they've had Ari in their back pocket for years now.
Yeah.
Have you met Ari?
I have met Ari, yes. I actually met him and Jeff together a while back. And, I mean, I think...
I hear they're not bros anymore.
They're not bros anymore.
Jeff was tweeting about him.
Yeah. So Jeff kind of tweeted something like, oh, the stories I could tell. And someone tweeted at him, or he saw that someone was tweeting these allegations that the two of them used to go to sorority parties together and, like, right. hook up with a bunch of
18-year-olds.
And Jeff was like, I've never been in a sorority house. And also, Ari is disgusting.
Oh, yeah. He said, I've never actually been inside a sorority house. As for him, .. I stopped being friends with him years ago because he's disgusting.
I mean,
which I don't, would we really put a lot of stock also?
I don't trust any of these people.
Either of them. Yeah.
But then also, every season, they do a thing where they visit parties, you know, these watch parties. They're all in sorority.
Yeah, it's true.
Like,
are you serious?
Like, saying yeah. that you've never been in one? I don't believe it. And also, it's something that the show actually pushes for you to go to these sorority houses to these watch parties. Not that I'm saying that it's okay to date 18-year-old girls, which I'm not sure if they did. That's disgusting. But it definitely happens. And, I mean, as long as they're not underage... They're going on a show where sometimes there's a huge age difference, you know?
I'm going to be honest. I have an issue with that on the show.
No, I mean,
like, listen, why are you casting 23-year-olds to date a 37-year-old? It's very weird to me.
Exactly. But then, too, like, there were some people who were like, I want it to be Peter, which Peter's how old?
32.
He's like
30, 31 or 32.
I don't know why I thought he was older.
It's the hair.
He just has salt and pepper.
Maybe that's what. But Ari's not that much older.
No.
You know?
But he was.
I think Peter had just turned 32. He was 31 on Rachel's season.
But I think it's also, I think there's something about knowing.
Nick's a year older than Ari.
Okay.
I think I think they'll be around the same age at the time of filming.
Yeah.
I think there's something about the fact that we knew Ari as this, like, ready to commit single guy in his 30s-ish. And then five years later, he still is. And there's, like, it's not entirely rational, but it has to do with how we, like, consume, like, narratives about people and characters on these shows. And there's a window when we're like, you're ready to commit and it didn't work out for you on The Bachelorette, you should be The Bachelor. And then after a while, we're like, but if you're really ready to commit, wouldn't it have happened by now?
I mean,
or not.
I can say I was on Brad Womack's second season. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, it can definitely happen. And if anything, I mean, I'd like to think that Brad Womack's season was really entertaining. I mean,
it was.
I didn't even
know. That was actually my first season.
I didn't know who he was when I went on there. Like, they said, what do you think about Brad Womack? And I was like, is that a country singer? You
know what I mean? It does sound like a country singer name.
Before I had watched it, though. And, I mean, he ended up being a just fine bachelor. So I would say, too, that Ari, you know, he didn't end up going and doing Bachelor in Paradise or anything kind of that would change our opinion about him. Like, as far as we know, like, he just hasn't met the right one.
Yeah.
And that's at least a little respectable.
I always feel like most of these people end up fucking around.
Yeah.
And I'm sure most of the guys, even the ones we like, have been shitty to some women they've dated.
For sure.
So, maybe he's a sleazeball, but maybe that doesn't matter. Like,
right.
I don't know how much that matters. It matters how he treats the women who will be on this season. It matters who they cast.
Yeah.
And I think all of that will be telling.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's a part of me that doesn't really trust anyone who can be The Bachelor, because you make out with a ton of women
right.
and, like, pretend that you're into all of them. And I'm like, I want someone to do it so
right.
I can watch. But, like, I find that weird.
I'm kind of ready for someone who is and this is going to sound awful, I want someone who's ready to make out with a lot of people. Like, I almost feel like we've had a lot of bachelors who are really good people.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been as entertaining, maybe.
Yeah, you get back – when you go back in bachelor history, there are a lot of real sleazeballs back
yeah.
then. Yeah. That made it fun. Yeah.
Jake Pavelka.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. That was, like, the last season where I felt like – The Bachelor, you hated him, but you, like, love to watch it.
Yeah.
Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo. That,
which was an amazing
season. I didn't even like watching Juan Pablo.
Oh, see,
though.
I loved that season because, and I've said this on this podcast many yeah. times before, but I liked watching all of the women very obviously not like
him. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just, and he would do these really creative things, like having sex with someone in the ocean and then later pulling her aside and being like, that was disrespectful to my daughter that you had yeah. sex with me in the ocean. I was like, what goes on inside that head of yours,
you know,
man?
And at least we know that Ari has some makeout skills. There yeah, will be yeah. some solid makeouts on yeah. this season.
And after the season of Brian, I'm ready for someone who kisses in a camera-friendly way to be on screen.
Yes.
Yeah. It's time. All right. And on that note, I think we need to wrap it up. And we will have a bonus episode, a little more from Taylor and Derek coming this week. And maybe some other things happening in the off season. But otherwise, we will see you in January. That's so sad.
Oh.
No, we all need a little bit of a break. So yeah,
it's nice to have breaks.
Exactly.
Yeah, believe me. Well, thanks for having me, y'all.
Yeah, come back. You have to come back during RE season, obviously.
Oh, I will.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Ashley Spivey, and of course, our producer, Nick Offenberg.
You can find Here to Make Friends on Apple Podcasts. Please subscribe, give us a rating and review. It helps other people find our show. And you'll make sure not to miss any off-season bonus episodes we might come up with. You can find us also on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or you can always shoot us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
We'll be back soon to talk with Taylor and Derek for you guys. And enjoy the off-season.
See you around.
Hear you around.
I'm going to stop.